Today we're continuing our sermon on the Lord's Prayer, When You Pray. And what we've done each week so far in Lent is we've taken a little piece of this prayer and we've taken it, we've looked at it just piece by piece, and we've tried to ask ourselves the question, what was Jesus really trying to tell us here? He said, when you pray, say this. And then he gives us what we know is the Lord's Prayer. So we get to a statement this week that can be kind of confusing. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is a very, very important part of the prayer. Why? Because we wrestle with this. We wrestle with temptation. Evil is in the world. That's the way the world is made. So Jesus put it here for a reason. And I also want to remind you, in your bulletin, there's a set of sermon notes. And those sermon notes are there for if you hear God speaking to you and anything happens in this service today, you write it down, and that way you'll have it later so you won't forget it, and it can help you through your week. Now, a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about that part of the prayer that said, give us this day our daily bread, you remember we talked about how you can tell the whole biblical narrative just by talking about bread. Remember we talked about the unleavened bread that was a sign when Moses was helping God deliver Israel out of slavery in Egypt, and they didn't have time to bake their bread, so they had this unleavened bread, or let the bread rise. You know, so that was a sign of Israel's delivery from slavery out of Egypt. And then, at the end of that story, we talked about the bread that's on our altar here today, and that's the bread of the Last Supper. That's the bread that Jesus breaks, and we give thanks because that's the bread we recognize when we are delivered out of our sin through Jesus Christ. Well, today I tell you, as we get to this point where we find, lead us not into temptation, I believe that that whole biblical narrative can also be told in a more foundational way through the story of temptation. And we go back to that very first story in the Bible, which we know so well, that very first story where you have Adam and Eve and a tree, right? And God puts Adam and Eve in a garden and says, it's all yours. You can have anything you want. It's delicious, it's beautiful, and it's all just for you. Except for one thing, and that one thing is you shall not eat from the tree of knowledge and evil, okay? And then you have this picture of Adam and Eve for at least a couple of days. They're looking at that tree. Maybe it's a couple of weeks, or maybe it's a couple of months, but they're just imagining how tasty that fruit is on that one tree that they're not allowed to eat from, how beautiful that tree is, until eventually that one day they take that one bite, and paradise is lost. And the whole time they're doing this, they have two voices in their head. The one is saying, it's all for you, but just don't touch that tree. And there's this other voice that's saying, did God really mean that you would surely die? I don't think he meant that. Have you seen that fruit? Have you seen how tasty that fruit is? How good it looks? You're missing out on life if you don't eat that from that fruit. Those are the two voices that are going on in Adam and Eve's had at that time. And we can tell that story the whole way through the Bible. Why? And why is it such an important story? Because that's your story. That's my story. Every one of us has those two voices in our heads. Every day we experience this and what's going on. There's a way that God wants us to go, and there's a way that we're not supposed to go. And we all hear those voices. That is our story. That voice of God is beckoning us to follow him and to follow his call and to do what's right. And that other voice is beckoning us to follow him and say, God's not all that. Is there really a God? You're missing out on life if you go that way. Look how tasty that fruit looks. Now, those are the two voices. And the question for us, especially when we pray this prayer, is we know they're there. Which one are you going to listen to? Which one are you going to feed? Which one is speaking louder? Which one is moving you at your core? And this phrase can be very confusing. I mean, we've asked this question before. This phrase, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It sounds like we're asking God not to lead us into temptation, as if God would lead us into temptation. And we hear from James that God leads no one into temptation. That's not what God does. In James' epistle, when he's writing this, he's writing it when a conflict has arisen about the Lord's Prayer and what this means. And it's very, very, it's throughout Scripture, and it's confident that what this means is it's not God leading us into temptation, because if God doesn't lead us into temptation, why do we need to pray this part? Now, some people have looked at that and they said, well, this word temptation in the Greek, it's really not temptation, it's trials or testing. So what Jesus is really saying, lead us not into trials or testing. And actually, the Revised Standard Version says, do not bring us to a time of trial. But that again leads us to a dilemma. Why would we ask God not to lead us into a time of trial? Maybe God needs us to go into a time of trial, and we should readily move into that if that's where God takes us. So it really hasn't released it. But I'm gonna offer you something else. Someone told me this a long, long time ago. In the prayer, lead us not into temptation, what if we take that comma and we move it three words to the left, okay? What if we said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil? And the way we read it then, what we're saying is, we have a natural bend towards temptation. We have no problem sniffing out temptation ourselves. We got a nose for it. We can go to temptation every time. So what we're saying to God is, lead us not into temptation. We do enough of that on our own, but deliver us from evil. And that helps me. That helps me understand it a little bit better. And it breaks the prayer down a little bit further. So we have this point. We have this first initiative, lead us. Lead us. How does God lead us? In Scripture, God is constantly trying to lead his people. We go the whole way back to the beginning when he's trying to bring his people out of Egypt, and he's got that pillar of fire and that column of smoke, right? And it's right there, and it's leading the people out. And then later he gives Moses the law, and Moses comes down with the Ten Commandments, and they've got the whole law, and the words are, live by these words, and you will find life. Obey this equals live. You'll be on the right path. And then, of course, the prophets come along, right? And the prophets are just watching people go the wrong way all the time, and all they can say is, no, this way, no, this way, and people aren't listening. And they say, look, that way leads to death, this way leads to life. Follow us. All right, so there are the prophets. And the psalmist tells it best of all. You lead me beside the still waters. You restore my soul. You lead me down paths of righteousness for your name's sake. God is constantly trying to lead us. He's trying to take us to the right place. And then we get to the New Testament, and we hear that scripture that Danny read to us just a little while ago when Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Then later in John, he says, I am the good shepherd. The sheep know me, and they know my voice. They follow me. And then when he's calling his disciples, he says to each one of them by name, come, follow me. So God is talking to us. He's trying to help us know what to do to be a follower. To be a Christian is to be a follower, to say, Jesus is my Lord, and I want to go where the Lord wants to lead me. I want to go down that path that he has for me, that plan that he has for me, so that I can be his helper. I can be his minister. I can be his mom. I can be his dad. I can be the one who shines that light unto others. Lead me where you want me to go. So if we want to follow, if we're going to take lead me seriously, how do we hear the voice of God in a way that we can be led? Well, the first one, I think, is that voice that we hear in our heads. That's the nudging of the Holy Spirit. You know, have you ever gotten a sense, I should give so-and-so a call, and you call them and you realize that was just the perfect time to call. They were waiting for somebody to call. They really needed a call. You know, that happens all the time. Or you're going to send that card, and you send somebody a card, and they call you back and say, thank you so much for that card. That came right at the time I absolutely needed. That's the nudging of the Holy Spirit. That's us hearing God's nudge. Or maybe you're sitting here in church, and you're looking through the bulletin, and you see that thing that says, oh, mission trip to Oklahoma. Who would want to do that? But it sticks in your head. And you say to yourself, the last thing I want to do is take a week off and go to Oklahoma. The last thing I want to do is take a week in the summer and spend it somewhere else more hotter and humid than in Philadelphia, you know? And then it comes time to go on the trip, and you find that you've signed up and you're still at a place. Well, what if the plane crashes? Or what if I get sick? Or all those things. And then it comes that day that you actually come back from the mission trip and you go, I'm so glad I went on that trip. That was awesome. I'm glad I listened to that voice in my head. See, that's the nudging of the Holy Spirit. Or it could be Costa Rica or Pittsburgh Project or any place else that we go around here. That's the nudging of the Holy Spirit. That's moving us down these right paths that God is seeking to take us down. All right, we listen to that nudging. Another way that God talks to us is the Holy Scriptures. As Christians, we're always supposed to have the Holy Scriptures close. And you know, if you just take those and you start to live that out, maybe you read a chapter a day and you say, God, as I read this, give me two or three words. Give me one verse that's going to make a difference in my life today. I'll tell you what, God will do that. There'll be a time during that day that you'll get spoken back to as a result of having that founding scripture to begin your day, or that devotional piece. It'll change you. Small groups, the things we do here in our Bible studies and Sunday schools and our ministry teams, bumping up against each other in discussions with each other, doing those things. meditation, prayer, worship. In all of these things, God seeks to speak to us. The question is, are we listening? How are our ears? Are we conditioned to do this? The longer you do it, the better you are as a Christian. You start to be able to discern the voice of God and that other voice, which is your voice. And when you do that, you grow. You follow the path that God leads us down. God speaks to us still today. Are we still listening? And which voice is it that you're listening to? Lead us not into temptation. This is a difficult phrase. At first, we're going to be led. Now we're going to say not into temptation. And I say this because we have a nose for getting into temptation ourselves. We know exactly where we're headed a lot of times. And I don't know if you're like me. I feel it. I tend to seek it out. I tend to know exactly where it's going, you know. It'll be a conversation that's going on that I've got one ear on, and I know it's gossip, but I can't help but just want to get more of that conversation. It'll be those channels when you're shifting down those channels and you see that one, oh, that's not something I should be watching. But you know there's this voice in your head. You wonder what's going on over there, right? And there's 100 to 1,000 different ways, materialism, gluttony, all these things, just one more donut, you know. We go through this all the time, things that we know we shouldn't, and that's those two voices in our head talking to us. There's a whole host of ways that we can get ourselves in trouble. But our desire is, when we say to God, lead us not into temptation, we're saying, God, would you steer me away from that? Would you put up an obstacle or roadblock so when that comes my way, I'll get pushed in another direction? And that'll happen. That'll happen. Some of you have met my family's dog, Lily. Lily is a 7-year-old chocolate lab. And there's one temptation that Lily cannot resist. Socks. I don't know what it is about socks. But if she finds a sock, she'll eat it. She loves it. And here's the thing. If we're in the room with her, and it's not Kim and I leaving our socks around. It's those kids of ours, right? They got those socks laying there. And she can't help it. If we're in the room, she wants nothing to do with the sock. We're her obstacle, all right? So as long as we're there, she's being a good girl. We walk out of the room, come back 5 minutes later, no sock. We'll find a half a sock in the front yard, but we won't find the sock. She can't resist it. It's there. It's such a temptation. And as soon as we're out of the room, she takes it. What she needs us to do is remove the socks. Put the socks out of reach. Put the socks away. So what I'm saying is, when you're in this prayer and you're telling God, God, lead me, not into temptation, would you remove the socks, God? Would you help me drive past the donut shop? Would you help me not listen to that gossip? Would you put up a roadblock? And here's what happens. When you're leaded towards temptation, what's going to happen? You'll be headed into temptation. The phone's going to ring. It's going to be somebody from the church. Hey, could you help out with this thing? You know? You'll be flipping those channels, and you'll see that one you shouldn't be on. Cable will go out. I'm just saying these things. Things happen, and God will move his way. But here's what's happened. This is the warning. God will not take the socks out of your life. He'll put them up where they can be hard to reach. But those socks are always going to be there. Right? That's just the way our God is. That's just the way our God is. He'll put them out of reach, but you'll know they're there, and that's the other voice. Those are those voices you have to be aware of in your head. Okay. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Evil, that is a strong word, isn't it? Evil. Now, if we look back at the Greek, there's a particle in front of that, so it would be the evil or the evil one. Okay, so it would be more appropriate. It would be deliver us from the evil one. Now, the evil one, many people like to personify evil. Some of us look at evil and say, evil's everywhere. It's inside of us. It's everywhere. It's a fine line that we deal with. Some people like to personify it. So it would be Satan. It would be the evil one. So he's saying, deliver us from the evil one, the liar. Okay, so this evil one is very personal. It's very real to a lot of people. And we're talking about Satan here. Now, here's what I want you to understand. The evil one has very limited power. Satan cannot make you do anything. There is no battle going on between Satan and God. Evil has very limited power, but here's what evil does. Evil tries to convince you that the truth are lies, and that the lies are truth. It's very seductive. It coaxes you. It moves you in a direction very slowly until it has you in its grips. Okay? And we are to pray, deliver us from this one. You know, I think about the evil one or evil and how it works. And I had a United Methodist pastor friend who had a church up in the Poconos. I'm going back almost 20 years now. And he was a United Methodist pastor, and the congregation, the church family there was great, but there was this one young lady in the church that really admired him for his work and told him so, and it made him feel good when she told him that. And you know, and then they developed a little bit of a friendship, and then that friendship became a bit of a fantasy, and then the fantasy became an illicit affair, and before you know it, he's no longer United Methodist pastor, and those two people who were married to others are now divorced. And there are still people today, 20 years later, who are living out the trail of destruction and tragedy that came from that. So I talk to him and I say, you know, I have to ask it. You know, while you're in this, while this is happening, how did you expect it to unwind? What did you think was going to happen down there? Did you think nobody was going to find out? I mean, the future's there. It happens out. And he looks at me and he says, Tom, you know something? When I was in that, I couldn't even see the future. All I could see is how tasty that fruit looked, how delicious it must be. He said, I couldn't see anything else. And again, people are still today from those broken families living out the consequences of those terrible decisions. That's how evil works. And remember, James says this, no one is tempted by God. One is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Then, when that desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. You know, we look at sins, and sometimes we say, well, these sins are just small sins, but here's what happens. It's okay to eat one donut, but when you eat a whole dozen donuts, you feel awful. And when you start doing these small sins, you say, yeah, it's just a little sin, it's just a little sin, but they lead to bigger sins, and they become cumulative effect. And Paul tells us what? The wages of sin is death. They all lead to the same place. That's the problem. So when we say this, we're saying, God, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the tempter. Deliver us from the liar. Deliver us from Satan. Deliver us from the adversary, because we have trouble with this. You know, I talked about the Oklahoma ski trip, or the Oklahoma mission trip last year. We went down to Oklahoma, and I was in the church van with the kids and Matt Schweitzer, and we were driving down the road, and as we're driving down the road, I'm looking off to the sides of the road, and I'm looking, it's one dead tree after another. Now, a lot of the trees were packed full of leaves, but there were all these dead trees. I'm like, wow, I wonder what's going on with these trees, and Matt knew the answer. He was right away, he said, well, that's the emerald ash borer. We have a picture of some of these trees. So these are the trees. Other trees have leaves on them, but these trees are in the middle of the summer, no leaves. He says, the emerald ash borer is this bug that came from China that's killing all of our ash trees. All throughout the Midwest, these trees are dying. I have a picture of the bug, too. This little thing here that is so small, but it does so much damage. So I said, Matt, I'm going to do some research on this. So I started Googling it on my phone, and here's what I found out. These little bugs had bored into wood that were made into pallets in China. Those pallets were stacked with goods that were shipped from China into our country through the Great Lakes. Those pallets were taken off of the ships and they were put on tractor trailers where they were shipped all over the United States. So as they were going down our interstate highways and they were getting offloaded at different places, these bugs are shedding out into our forests and looking for the closest ash tree for a salad bar. And it's amazing what they do. Go to the next picture. What they do is, you see that little hole to the right of the quarter? They bore this little hole, and once they get through the bark, they get to that center tender part of the tree, and they go out sideways. And what they do is, between the bark and the actual tree itself, they start to eat and eat and eat and eat. And when you pull the bark off, it's just all of these little trails of where they go. But what they're eating is, they're eating the membrane that takes all the nutrients from down in the roots and takes it up to the crown of the tree. So that tree looks perfectly healthy. You know, you don't know anything's wrong with it for 6 months, a year, maybe 18 months. And then all of a sudden, there aren't any leaves right in the very top. And then out at the ends of the branches. And then the next summer, it doesn't get any leaves at all. It's dead. And it's falling apart. That's what sin does to us. It's these little things that just get in our system. And once they get in there, they begin to cut off all the avenues of God's nutrients in our spirituality and our lives. And when they start to do that, we start to get eaten up from the inside out. And we look perfectly spiritually healthy on the outside, but as long as we're allowing this to happen, We look great until one day we fall. See, that's the way it is with us. If we allow the little sins to get hold, if we allow these things to happen, we too are doomed to die one day. The wages of sin are death. That's why we pray this prayer. That's why we say, God, deliver us from the evil one. God, put the socks out of reach. God, take the bugs out of me so that I can be healthy, so that I can follow you in your paths of righteousness. This prayer, friends, if you pray it daily, it can help you along these lines. This prayer will help you combat the evil one. And here's what I want to invite you to do today. I know that there are some of us in this room that are struggling with sin. We're all struggling with sin, but there's some of us that are struggling with sin right now in a way that the bugs are having their way with us, and they're eating us from the inside out. And here's what I want to invite you to do. You've got to talk to somebody. You can't live this yourself. You can't be alone. Whether you have a spouse or a friend or a father or a mother or a brother or sister, somebody that you can talk to and trust, go talk to them. And if you don't have anybody to talk to, you can come talk to me. There's people in and out of my office every day, and there's questions on life and Bible and theology and all that. Nobody knows what anybody's asking me. It's all confidential, but I have it's a revolving door, and if you need to come talk to me, I'm here. We can pray, and we can work through it, and we can look at what God has for our future, and maybe there's a direction here that'll mean something to you, but you can't keep it to yourself. You can't deal with it to yourself. I want to invite you to think about that. I want to encourage you to talk to someone about it, you know. And you might look perfectly spiritually healthy on the inside, but we know what's happening in there that can be absolutely devastating. So here's what I'm telling you. I'm not telling you that the biblical story is a story of people who just fall and get pushed aside. The biblical story is also a story of a God of second chance who comes behind people and lifts them up out of their sin and makes them whole once again. That too is our story. And that's who we are called to be. So we say this. We say, lead me. Lead me, Lord. Lead me. Take me where you want me to be. Keep the socks out of reach and take the bugs out. Deliver me from the evil one. And take me away from temptation. So let's pray now. And what I'm going to do is we're going to start a prayer, but I'm going to have a little pause and just give you an opportunity to offer to God anything that might be in your life that you find to be less than what God wants. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and pray. And again, I just want to remind you that, you know, if you're in need of God's grace and mercy, we're all in need of God's grace and mercy. God is so willing to forgive. When the one comes to forgiveness and God sees them from far off, he runs towards them. That's the kind of God that we have. Just ask for deliverance today. If you've been struggling with temptation, maybe there's something specific, or maybe it's just little sins that you're dealing with, just go to the Lord about it. Ask for his help. Ask God to lead you and guide you. Just pray now as you have need.